your first love.
I can take you to the place,
probably within 1,000 feet, the spot in the road where 31 years ago I gave my wife, who is now my wife, she was not my wife then, her first piece of gum. You laugh. It was about 1 mile out of Due West, just before the crossroad where you go on the bypass of Due West before you get to the strawberry patch. That was a significant moment in my life. I had picked her up. That was our first date, as I recall. And at that point, we still had bench seats in cars. And she sat beside me. I think she enjoyed it. Oh, my. I was working a day job at that time. I don't know what. I don't remember where I worked that day. I don't remember where I worked that week before. But I do remember when I gave her that piece of gum and where we were. And I do believe that my mind was consumed with getting ready for that time together. I don't even know where we went to eat. Do you know, Diane? Or what we did that night. Maybe it was just a youth function. But we had a gum chewing time. You talk about first love. Then, long story short, we dated, then we didn't, then we did, then we didn't. But long story short, we dated, we got together one more time, then we got apart. Henceforth, today we're married. I remember those days on the Monday nights playing volleyball after the breakup on Sunday night. You guys know how it is. I was young. I was like 16, I think. Good lands. It's way too young, fellows. I loved the girl. But man, I wasn't ready to get married yet. Good night. So I broke up on a Sunday night. Monday night, go to the volleyball game. Who did I spot sitting over on the other side of the gym? But this little chick. Duh, we've been dating. I go over and sit beside her, and it's like I just sat beside a tree stump, a rock. Nothing there. What that taught me was a lesson that you can't have it both ways, buddy. Either it's me, all of me, or none of me. My thought was, I'm young, and I really do like this girl, but man, I'm not ready to get married yet, and I want to see the world somewhat. Take your chances, buddy. It's either you're taking your chances with me, or you're taking your chances not with me. I almost did lose her, but I got her back. And I'm thankful for that. Did we have it all together, that first love? Probably not. Actually, no. Turn in your Bibles to Revelations chapter, Revelation, it's not plural, one revelation from the Spirit to John, who henceforth is called the Revelator. Revelation chapter 2, I want to read 6 verses in there. Before I go to that, I want to read to you while you're looking out of Revelation chapter 1, which says something like this, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything that he saw. That is the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to catch in this passage. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. How many of you have read Revelation this week? What is your deal? You don't want to be blessed or what? It's not a book that when we want to pick up the Bible and just read something soft and soothing, you don't go to the book of Revelation. But it does say, blessed is the one who reads it. Blessed are those who hear it. But it says also, then they take it to heart, that what is written. And it also says, because the time is near. Well, this was written how long ago? You know what? The time is nearer now than what it was then. Hello. Who knows? But that we're just at the outside on the threshold of eternity. Renewing your first love. Satan is running rampant today. Satan is trying to cause dissension, division, misunderstandings, miscommunications. Thank you guys yesterday for showing up. Thank you guys yesterday for even what you said, even if you didn't like something that had been said, that you said you didn't like it being said. Thank you for that freedom that you had in that. I thank God that we can get together like that. Well, it was a blessed time yesterday. It really was. We're not all the same. We're not all wired in the same manner. We really aren't. None of us. Revelation 2, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I'm not going to go into all those details, but I don't even know all those details. Gary would be better up here for this. But seven, as we know, is the perfect number. But he who holds all these, and that is talking about God. He says in verse 2, God says, I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Notice in verse 2 and verse 3 both, he's saying the same thing except he reversed it. He swapped his words around. I think today, if God would speak directly to us here at Shiloh, these would be words that he would be saying to us. I know your works. I know your deeds. You've done a lot of good. Man, you've been there to help. You've been there to go out and help those that are struggling with disaster relief. You've ministered to those around you. You've ministered to those in the community. I know what you've done. You've worked hard. You've done a lot of things and nobody even recognized you for it. Nobody even seen that you did it. But God says, I noticed it. I saw it. It even says that we don't tolerate wicked men. That's hard. To take a stand in a world where tolerance is promoted. To be intolerant is bad in today's economy, in today's world, in today's cultural climate that we're in. Tolerance. All religions lead to God. Wrong. And if that's a wrong statement, then we're... And it is. But we're classified as being intolerant. It says, you also have tested those who claim to be apostles. And you found them false. You've done your work. You've been diligent. And it says you haven't grown weary. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, well, maybe that's not me, because I feel sometimes I have grown weary. But this morning, I want to encourage us. let's go on. Let's not get bogged down. Let's recognize that Satan is coming against us. He's attacking the churches. And that's actually a good thing if you want to think of it that way, because that means something good is going on here that Satan doesn't like. If we're not doing anything for God's kingdom, Satan is not going to mess with it. Because I believe his philosophy is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So he talks about all the good. Then he goes on. Yet, verse 4, I hold this against you. You have lost your first love. What a thing to say. What an accusation to make. If I would come up to you after church, or someone would come up to you after church and tell you that, what would you say? Would you take it offensively? Would you bow up and say, I have not. Who are you? And besides the fact, I know something about you too. Who are you to tell me, oh non-perfect one yourself? What would you do? Well, he says in verse 5, to remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. He is still talking to believers. You've lost your first love, but you haven't lost your salvation. But it's getting pretty serious here. God's saying, I'm watching you. I've seen what you've done. I've seen the good that you've done. But you're going downhill. You're starting to slip on me. God's saying, I want you back. He's saying then, there, remember. And we know all in the Old Testament where the children of Israel set up these standing stones, and it was simply so that they would remember what God did. We're to remember the state of grace that God has given to us. Remember the happiness, the love, the fellowship that you used to have, that you don't feel anymore. Remember how it felt when you first got saved. The glorious feeling, like on cloud 9, your feet barely hit the ground. And some of you had a more dramatic experience than others. And I trust that each one of you have had that experience of accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And it's different for different people. But that you had come at some point in your life, that you've come to the place to where you have surrendered yourself totally, 100%. To the will of Jesus Christ. Remember how willing you were to give up anything and everything, because this new life, there was nothing like it that you've ever felt before, because that burden of sin was lifted. Remember, remember, remember. He's saying, stop. Think where you were, the heights that you were, and now you've fallen down to a new low. He's only giving us one solution, brothers and sisters, this morning. That is, he says, repent. And when it says to repent, it means I am willingly acknowledging my sin before God. And I am willingly turning away from that. And I'm going to go the other direction. I want no part of this falling and keep going down and down. I alluded to it yesterday morning. We sat there as men. And I know I alluded to before, and y'all get tired of it. It's okay. Deal with it. When Shiloh started,
the bond that we had. And I know with new people coming in and the group growing larger, the dynamics change. And that's okay. But do you remember back how forgiving you were? How willing you were to overlook even the warts that were on your brother's face? And you didn't even allow nobody else to talk about them because it wasn't necessary. We stood up for each other. We've lost that, brothers and sisters. We're willing to downgrade our own family, our own body. I'm willing to take and smash my own finger and think I'm doing myself good when actually I'm damaging my own self. That's where we've fallen to, it seems. And that burdens me. And I don't think this morning it is, brothers and sisters, that we've become more imperfect. We were just as imperfect way back then as we are now. And only by God's grace are we continuing to grow in Him. And that still hurts. He goes on in verse 6, says, "But you have this one thing in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." God again talking here. And Adam Clark gives a commentary on the Nicolaitans that they were just, though, ungodly people. They believed in the community of wives, adultery, fornication. No big deal. It's okay to do that and still call yourself a Christian. And what he's saying is, you hated the practices of those people. You have that for you. And again, to us this morning, we have hated the practices of those that do wicked. Back to my story about this wife of mine. We got married. And come to find out, this girl that I married wasn't perfect after all. She actually had her own opinions. Maybe pretty opinionated on something. You know, she is a Hirschberger. Was. And that's okay. It's okay to be opinionated. So you face a time in your life when you start, like, it's all, you know, it's all the honeymoon, and then it starts after the first year, then the second year, and the third year, and it's like, ho-hum. But when you get to the point then to where it's okay for your mate even to have some imperfections, some ways about her that aren't perfect. Because you know what? Her husband, I think, is also in that category. But to come to a point where that has nothing to do with your relationship as far as what your love is. And I think any one of you that have been married any length of time, if you're going to stay married and if you're going to have any decency of a resemblance of a good marriage, you're going to have to come back to the point to where you come back to your first love and to think back how it was when you first started. In spite of the fact of what we now know about each other, it has nothing to do with how much I love, but it has all to do with how much I'm willing to put myself out for my mate. Can we take that to the church too? We as a body here, we've been through some junk. We really have. And I'll be the first to confess, Jerry hasn't always done it right. And I'm sorry. I am sorry for that. But I am committed to you. I want to do what's right. I want my own agenda to be gone. I really do. I want what God wants for this church. I'm not old yet, but as I go on in life and I hear of people struggling, whether it's in the different churches or whether it's in families or whether it's in the workplace, and you start listening to what's going on and listen to both sides of it, I've come to the conclusion that so often the issue at hand that's up here is really not the issue. But so often it comes back to something that maybe is in my own life that I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to admit. And it's hard. I know it. Because I'm a Stolzfus. My dad, in his years of prime as a carpenter, work crew, he had a work crew. He was known as the Gross, the big. I mean, he was a bull. My oldest brother was known as the bull. That it's in our family. We bull our way through. So I struggle with it. It's just how it is. We all have our opinions, and we think that we're right, and we have these reasons to back it up. But can we, with God's help, just stop and add a little bit of grace to each other, to the love that we show to each other, and regain that height that we've been at? 1 Peter 1:13. It's not easy, brothers and sisters, but it says here in 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. It means that you've got to get ready in the morning. You've got to get ready before you go out into battle. Then you've got to be self-controlled. Well, you know what? If everything goes my way and being self-controlled is no longer an issue. Because if I'm right in everything that I do, then I can just go by my nature and my will, and everything will be fine. I don't have to be self-controlled. But evidently, it's not that way, because the Bible, as I found it, does not put words in there just because they needed to fill space. But it says, be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Then in verse 15, this is verse that Brother Elvin alluded to last week and following. But just as he who called you is holy, so be you. You can read it. So be ye holy in all that you do. I don't get it sometimes. Because sometimes I just don't even, it's like I don't even care to be holy. And I think the Lord knew that. That's why that verse is in there. If it'd be a natural, that verse would again be wasted. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Does it say be perfect? It says in Scripture that we're to be perfect. Does God know that we will not make mistakes? No, He doesn't know that, because we will. But He still has called us His children. But we have got to be a holy people if we even begin to think of wanting to be in the presence of God on a daily basis. Then in verse 17, it says, last part of it, live your lives as strangers in reverent fear. What causes, in James it talks about what causes fights and quarrels. It's so often because of my own selfish motives. It is. You check your own life and see if that's not the case. It's because I don't get what I want. I don't think that justice was done in my situation the way it should have been. But he goes on in verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. So first of all, you've got to purify yourselves by what? By doing what God says in His Word. If you don't do that, if you're not connected to His Word, number one, you're not, this next part of the verse is of no value to you. It says then to love one another deeply. And again, think of your wife. Any one of us with our spouses, husband or wife, we know that in order to love deeply, we also have to forgive deeply. Really, we do. In 2 Peter 2:1, it says we're to rid ourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And that verse was not just put in there yesterday. It's been there. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Is it not, again, the issues that I have with my brother, with my sister, is because I'm not willing to honor them over and above myself? It's because that I feel that I have been violated. And you might have been and might continue to be. But does that give us any reason or any right to not honor my brother and my sister above myself? First John 3:16. It says that we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. How willing are you? How literally, how willing would you be to lay down your life for your brother? Revelation 2, verse 7. My last verse. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here's our verse. Here's the key in the verse. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's a positive statement, isn't it, brothers and sisters? But you know what? You want me to read that in a negative? I'm not going to. You look at that and think of it in a negative. Switch it around. It's not a pretty picture that way, is it? Let's stand for closing prayer. Father in heaven, this morning, it is with gratefulness that we come to you, that you have chosen us, dear God, to be a part of your family, that all we have to do is to reach out and to accept this gift. God, I pray for this church at Shiloh. Lord, would you move us? Would you mold us? Would you help us to look inward and to see where you want to change us? Would you help us to see where we need improvement? Where we need to confess? Where we need to forsake? Where we need to lay down some of our own personal ideas for the good of the kingdom and for the good of the church? God, we pray that you would Bless us as we leave from here. Thank you for each one that was here this morning. God, would you use this message for your honor and glory? For it's in the lovely name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.